Welcome, friends. You are listening to the Mind Body Alchemy Podcast. I'm your host, Stephanie Miramontes. This is where intuition meets education in the realms of spirituality, fitness, mindset, and more, all to create lasting change. Hi. If this is your first time joining me, welcome, welcome. And if you have been around for a while, then welcome back. I appreciate you showing up each and every week to listen to the podcast, and hopefully you're learning some things that help you change your habits to something a little more goal supportive instead of feeling so frustrated like you're constantly chasing your tail. Today, I want to talk about wanting to be normal and what it means to be free of food and body obsession. I often hear clients say things like, I just need to get this weight off. I need to get this figured out so that I can eat like a normal person and just stop worrying so much about my body. I want to close this chapter. I need it to be in the past. And you might be thinking this exact same thing. And honestly, I don't blame you. Spending your entire life believing that you have to be smaller to be desirable and worthy and lovable and sexy, or just get the relief from the incessant criticisms in your head, is exhausting. You spend so much time and energy wanting to change that you miss out on living the life that you have right now, because it's hard to be present when you're always thinking about what should be, what could be, and feeling like life is just unfair, that you are really having to struggle every single step of the way, especially when it comes to something like food, something we have to have in order to survive, something that is literally everywhere we turn. If this rings true for you, you might want to scroll down to episode 35 on wishing time away, because I bet you'll find that one helpful. But here's what people are really saying when they say that they want to eat like a quote-unquote normal person and just be done with it already. They're saying, I'm tired of trying things, failing, and feeling disappointed in myself. I'm sick of feeling defeated, insecure, and unworthy. I want the pain to go away, and I don't believe in myself enough to know that I can change long term. Nothing sticks. I'm tired of having to be in control all the time, but when I let loose, I'm always backtracking. In fact, when I let loose, I was doing more than just backtracking. My weight was propelling upward at warp speed, and it was so frustrating and painful. I wanted to be done with it already. When you're talking about eating like a normal person, it's because you want relief from the worry that you're never going to get there, or that it will always be hard and miserable. The bottom line is, you're sick of thinking negatively about what you have to do, and you're sick of being so unkind to yourself. Your inner environment is pretty toxic. Nobody wants to hang out there, especially not you. On the deepest level, though, you just want to feel safe and secure and good enough, just like every other human. But I want to offer a shift in perspective here. The way that you're thinking about your goals and the effort it takes to reach them is the very definition of a scarcity mindset, and you're never going to succeed that way. When you want to quote unquote eat normally, be very clear about what that means. Who is eating normally? What do you consider to be normal? Because from where I stand, normal is what is most common. And most common is not getting the results that I want in my life. Every outcome that you have, for better or worse, and me too, and everyone else, is a product of our habits. Average behavior, quote unquote, normal behavior, equals average results. And when I look around, there are very few people getting the results that I want in my life. I don't want that average. Our results come from a collective of unhealthy and unhelpful habits. The normal habits of those around us are very often either yo-yo dieting, been there, done that, or having terrible eating habits, eating mindlessly, overeating, and eating because of social and environmental triggers and cues that have nothing to do with their own physical need for energy, nutrients, and pleasure, which are my top three when it comes to eating habits. Normal habits are often a result of lacking boundaries, overcommitting and having little to no time to care for themselves, sitting too much, and then chasing cheap sources of dopamine like binge watching television, snacking all the time, and scrolling all day instead of making time for exercise and hobbies and the things that they truly love. I know. A lot of the reason that people have these quote-unquote normal habits is because of the way our culture and society is structured. Overworking is a badge of honor. Many companies are understaffed because they can be. And by the time you get home, you probably have other responsibilities too. You're tired. But even with all of that, it's worth examining the ways that we can change. Normal behaviors equal normal outcomes. So I would be very careful about what you're measuring yourself against when you believe that you're not normal and those around you are. I don't want to be normal, but I don't want to be obsessed either. So what is the answer? What I would offer you is the answer is in defining your normal and understanding that what you want is a feeling of normalcy and not necessarily the behaviors of a normal person. And when we want to feel something, we have to think something. If you are new to the podcast and that feels really confusing to you, then hang out for a little while. Scroll back to some old episodes. There's one that is called A Masterclass on Thinking on Purpose or A Masterclass of Thought Work or something like that. I can't remember the name of that episode right now off the top of my head, but it's one of the earlier episodes and it will describe all of this. If you have been around for a while, then you know exactly what I mean. If you want to feel quote unquote normal, you have to think thoughts that support a feeling of normalcy around whatever it is that you want to be doing in your life. And if you think about the things that you quote unquote have to do in order to get the results you want, maybe it's eating more vegetables, maybe it's exercising, maybe it's not snacking or drinking more water, getting more sleep, you know the drill. Whatever those things are, if you're labeling them as obsessive and abnormal, you are going to feel like you are broken. You're going to feel stressed and pressured and overwhelmed by doing these things. When I look back over my history of dieting, I have three versions of myself. Version one, the desperate yo-yo dieter that kept trying all the fad diets. I did everything from cabbage soup to the hormone type diet, all kinds of things. And there were the weight loss hacks, the as seen on TV products, the diet pills, you name it. That was the early stages of my sort of diet life from 8 years old into, maybe my early 20s, something like that. Then there was version two, which was the fitness obsessed and diet obsessed version, where my self-worth relied heavily on my dietary adherence and getting as lean as possible. Either I was perfect or I was failing hard. And then there is version three. This is the version I am today, and it continues to grow and evolve. But I know that where I am now is my foundation. It is very close to the habits and behaviors I will have for the rest of my life, unless some magic new information comes and just shakes me up and changes my mind. I have my doubts, because it's pretty reasonable. Each of these versions led me to the next. And I won't talk much about version one. That was just ridiculousness. But version two, while it was a major struggle and it was a painful time in my life, did actually teach me a lot about who I did and did not want to be. What was normal for me versus obsessive and exhausting. My transition from version one to version two began with the desire to lose weight for a vacation. I started working out with some Jillian Michaels videos, and that is a whole other story. We won't even talk about Jillian Michaels today, but maybe we will on another day. Let me know if you want to know my real opinion about Jillian Michaels, and I'll do an episode. However, those home videos quickly progressed to P90X, more home videos, only the real ones know, which then led me to buying a copy of Oxygen magazine with Ava Cowan on the cover. She was a pro figure competitor. And then I joined a gym. At that point, I began really lifting weights, which then immersed me into the bodybuilding community, where I went down a food and body obsessed rabbit hole that was different than just wanting to be a size zero. I spent years like that. However, it wasn't this linear progression from overweight Steph who was struggling to lean and fit and awesome and so happy. Instead, I yo-yoed just like I always had, on track, off track. Obsessed, miserable. And then I had my breaking point. And I've talked about my breaking point on this podcast before and in various other places. Maybe one of these days I'll revisit the episode about how I transitioned.
But what it led me to discover was what I valued and what I really wanted for my life. And that took time. But now, the current habits that I have, I really enjoy because they're based on my values, not based on me chasing some form of self-worth, some external validation. So what I've kept from that sort of version two of myself is that I continue to weight train and I value it. Do I always want to do it? No, but I do generally love it and I don't ever see myself giving it up. Now before, I just really wanted some pumpkin delts to walk around with and maybe a bicep vein and to be super lean and all the things. But now I weight train because I imagine myself as an older woman who can get up off the floor, who can go to the park, who can chase my hypothetical future possible grandkids around the playground, who can do things by herself and not just barely be able to do them, but do them because I am strong and fit and healthy enough to do so. I see myself having a full life forever. I watch people around me start to age and start to break down, and they say things like they wish they would have gotten into exercise when they were younger. They wish they would have made the time. They wish they would like it, but now they feel like it's too late to start. Now they feel like it's such a struggle to get there, and they're just too tired, too sore, in too much pain, too broken down to make it a priority. I do not want that for my life. I eat fruits and vegetables and protein because I care about those things, because I care about my nutrition, because I care about recovery, my fiber, and all of that. But I don't track those things. I don't need to track them. All I need to know is, am I feeling okay? Do I feel like I'm taking good care of myself? That does not mean what it used to mean. What it used to mean is, you can't ever eat pizza. You can't ever have a donut. You can't ever have any candy. And if you did, you needed to make sure it perfectly fit within a certain set of calories or macros or a meal plan or something like that. And I don't think that way anymore. I put pleasure on my plate on purpose because prioritizing my health and my nutrition does not have to cost me my pleasure. It is not one or the other. I'm really glad that I learned the value of eating protein for muscle recovery and muscle building. I'm really glad that I learned about weight training and the value that it has for bones and muscles and strength and longevity and all the things. I'm glad that I value being healthy and being in shape. And I'm really glad that I don't have to obsess about it anymore. I'm really glad that I can find the nuance, that I can skip a workout because something else comes up that is more important, and not have that be the beginning of the end for me, and not have to fear weight gain or that I'm going to struggle to get back on track. It's never like that for me anymore because of what I have learned to value, because of the way that I think about my habits. I never think about them like they make me abnormal or weird or obsessive. They're just part of who I am. Sometimes the intensity increases and sometimes it decreases depending on what else I have going on in my life, but it is a constant. It's a non-negotiable. I'm never going to be someone that is on track or off track again. So when somebody says something to me like, I just don't want to have to think about this so much. I don't want to have to pay attention to food my entire life. I don't want to have to make myself exercise. I just want to be normal. My thought about that is that the human brain will always tell you what's wrong. It will always offer worry. That's its job. It will always have something to obsess over, to focus a large amount of your thought power on. You're going to be doing the same things over and over for the rest of your life, in stages, of course. It might shift and change over time, but if you look back at your history, you'll notice that you have pockets of time where you have obsessed over one thing or another, that you've worried about one thing or another. Please tell me a more valuable and worthy way to invest your time, energy, and money than into your well-being, your health, and your future vitality. We live in an environment where food is abundant, but we think of it as scarce. We think telling ourselves no is exhausting and depriving, but is that actually true? If you were thinking about eating mindfully and respectfully because you love how it makes you feel and you love that you give yourself that attention, would it be exhausting? Because I personally find it energizing. If you're always thinking about what you can't have instead of thinking about what you really enjoy and value, then it will be miserable. But it simply doesn't have to be. Now, yes, if you are eating off of a food list of a dozen foods, and your entire life revolves around if you can get a workout in or not, and punishing yourself for food mistakes and feeling like you always have to say no to all your favorite foods and things like that, then yeah, we need to talk about what it's like to eat like a quote unquote normal person. But when you're trying to look at the habits you currently have and change them to habits that will improve your life so that they do go on autopilot, but you still focus on caring about these choices, that's not abnormal. It's no different than managing your time or managing your money or working on your relationship. It's valuable. It's important. If your definition of normal is just being able to eat whatever you want, then I have good news for you. You can absolutely eat whatever you want. You just can't eat whatever you want, whenever you want it, in whatever amount you want, without consequences. You don't have to work out, walk, or do anything physical. No one is making you do that. But if you want to be fit, strong, and healthy for the rest of your life, then there is a trade-off. You can see it as a drag, or you can start changing the way you think about it. You can think about it as insurance for a better future, a privilege, and as self-care, even if you don't love doing it, because you love what you get out of it. So here's the solution. Trade food and body obsession for body integrity and future self-thinking. Reframe thinking about food and improving your eating and exercise habits as self-care and insurance for the future version of you that is so grateful to you for making it a priority. Make the changes small and sticky. Remember, I started with just exercise videos in my living room, and now I can't ever imagine being someone that doesn't exercise and eat in a way that allows my body to feel good. It feels necessary and important and part of my value system. It didn't start that way. Don't try to hack the system. I don't want to be someone that is just seeing what I can get away with. I want to thrive. Don't you? I want to use what I already know about the body and is scientifically true to stay ahead of my well-being instead of trying to play catch-up when the suffering starts. Frankly, that's how my dieting days felt, and I will never go back there. If normal is a feeling, then what you feel normal about is a choice. It's a choice based on what you're thinking. No one else actually has to agree with you. The world doesn't have to agree with you about what is normal and abnormal. Only you get to decide what it means to have your own back and give you what you need now and in the future. So that's what I'm going to challenge you on today. Take some time, put your pen to paper, and just write out, what is my definition of normal? And when I read that back, what results will I get from that? And do I like them? Or do I need to redefine normal for myself by changing the way that I think about the things that right now I might be calling abnormal or too hard? And then shoot me an email and let me know. I'd love to hear all about it. All right, that is all I have for you today. Just as a reminder, the doors to Unstuffed, the signature group coaching program that changes your habits, psychology, and body image so you can lose weight permanently, is opening on April 22nd. Join the no obligation interest list by clicking the link in the show notes and get first dibs on some great bonuses too. If you enjoyed this episode, do the cool thing by leaving me a rating and review for the podcast. It helps me so much more than you know. And of course, a no cost way to support me in this work is to share. Screenshot the episode, share it on social media, and tag me so that I can come by and say thanks. If you have any questions or thoughts on this episode, ideas for future episodes, or you want to know how we can work together one-on-one, my inbox is always open for you. All my contact information is in the show notes as well, and we will see you next week. Bye!